Time for our life hack of the week. And the life hack of the week is that you should consider joining your local ratepayers association. Why are we talking about this? Well, a couple of weeks ago, we received an email from a listener who is a member of the City Bowl Ratepayers and Residents Association, SIBRA. And for those who don't know, like many similar associations, they represent the local community in municipal matters. So they are there to make sure that things are executed properly and fairly, that residents are kept informed of issues affecting their neighborhood, that they're kept informed of their rights, of the procedures for dealing with things when they go wrong, and generally keeping abreast of areas of concern, whether that be noise and pollution control, traffic issues, urban conservation issues, and more. And what was interesting is that Nigel, who wrote to us, says, we're really struggling for membership. Since COVID-19 hit, SIBRA has seen a sharp decline in community involvement. Fewer people seem to be interested in the day-to-day function and operations of the association, and we really would like to recruit some new members. I asked Nigel to join us today to talk a little bit more about the concept, as well as what needs to happen to draw more people to that particular ratepayers association. And we've also invited Patrick Melly to join us, who is the treasurer at the Greater Cape Town Civic Alliance, which is, as the name suggests, an alliance of numerous different civil society organizations representing the interests of residents and ratepayers in Cape Town. To both of you, a very warm welcome. Patrick, please hold the line. We'll be with you in a few minutes. I'm going to start with Nigel Webster, who brought this issue to our attention. Nigel, thank you for doing so, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Pippa. Thanks for the opportunity.
How long have you been involved with the residents, the Ratepayers and Residents Association?
Pippa, I've always been involved in community organizations, and I haven't been involved in SIBRA for very long. But when I joined them, I could see that there was a need for new members, and I took it upon myself to try and help them get new members. So okay. We've placed some ads in the local neighborhood watch groups, and now I'm talking to you.
And I'm really glad you're doing that. Nigel, can you give us a sense of what SIBRA does, the kind of things it's involved in?
Yeah, SIBRA strives to be the community's voice in local government, with particular emphasis on planning permissions and land use. You know, its vision is built around the protection and betterment of the City Bowl community. Mm-hmm. So the City Council like to deal with as few organizations as possible. It just helps the whole communication thing better. And so that's why SIBRA was it's been around since about 1997. And yeah.
Okay. And what sort of people tend to stand as members, Nigel? Are they generally people who bring a particular skill set to the conversation, or is it just interested parties who want to help work for a better community?
Well, you can become a member of SIBRA, which is the mm-hmm. City Bowl Ratepayers Association, for 120 rand a year, and that can be anybody in the city, and 30 rand for pensioners. And then if you want to be in the EXCO, on the committee, then yes, we would hope that you would bring some skill sets through to that. And whether you're an ex-architect or an engineer, or have got some admin skills or fundraising skills, or really somebody that just has a lot of commitment, that just has some time available, that wants to get involved, that likes to see a job being done, you know, right to its end. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just committed people that are concerned about the city, want to see it remain a beautiful city, yeah.
And Nigel, the fact that you've noticed a decline in community involvement during lockdown, do you attribute that simply to the fact that people have sort of withdrawn into their own homes and into their personal bubbles because of the worry about the pandemic, or is there more to it than that?
No, yes, obviously that has had a big impact on it. But I think over the last few years, from what I can observe, is that a lot of the neighborhood watches have sprung up in the various areas, and they've taken some membership away from SIBRA. But there's quite a difference between the neighborhood watches and SIBRA. The neighborhood watches tend to deal with very, very local matters within the particular suburb, and particularly crime matters with regard to the neighborhood watches, where CBER has a more of a long-term sort of global vision of Cape Town. We would get involved in policy decisions being made at the city council, spatial development structure, where they're going to build new MyCity bus routes, where they're going to build the park areas, or that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a long-term global view of where Cape Town is and where it wants to go. Yeah, so as I say, quite a few people have drifted towards the neighborhood watches and have got involved there, whereas perhaps in the past they would have got involved with CBER.
Nigel, please stay on the line. Nigel Member speaking as a member of the City Bowl Ratepayers and Residents Association. At this point, I want to bring in Patrick Melly, who is the treasurer of the Greater Cape Town Civic Alliance. And as the name suggests, they are sort of a representative body for many similar organizations to CBER. Patrick, thank you very much for joining the conversation. Welcome.
Oh, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. Patrick, I mean, it's disturbing that Nigel mentions a decline in community involvement that's been noticed in his part of the city. In general, are you seeing the same thing? Are you hearing the same sort of feedback from other ratepayers associations?
Oh, absolutely. Across the metro, everywhere. And it's not only ratepayers associations, but it's heritage groups and environmental groups and all sorts of groups of people. There is a fear amongst many people of gathering together because they don't want to contract COVID. But the decline in ratepayers associations has been on the go for more than just, for the last year or so, a year and a half that we've had COVID. Pre-COVID, there was also a considerable degree of apathy had set in. So when COVID came along, it was just like, just a very bad knock on top of
an existing situation.
What had been happening before.
Yeah. Patrick, and again, to what do you attribute that?
There's a lot of work to be done in resuscitating all these civic organizations all over the metro. And we at the Civic Alliance would really like to help people who might be having difficulty in actually resuscitating the organizations. And with that in view, we are looking to obtain international funding to set up a permanent office and, to really be of assistance to ratepayers associations all over the metro.
Patrick, I mean, it's distressing what you've described, that apathy setting in and entrenching itself. And as you said, if it predates COVID, we've got to ask ourselves, what is going on? Have people got too busy to be involved? Have people stopped caring because they feel like they're not making a difference, or that the problems are too big to be tackled by an ordinary man on the street? To what do you attribute the apathy?
It's very difficult to say. There's quite a number of reasons, possible reasons for it. But one of the things that has happened in the last couple of decades is the intrusion of party politics into local government affairs. These days, it's local government elections and inter-party rivalry is almost like a low-intensity civil war. And people kind of feel helpless, and they don't quite understand what a ratepayers association can do for them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things that, that you can't go along to a political party to ask for help for, you can actually obtain help from your local ratepayers association.
Can you give us some examples, Patrick?
Well, for example, now, if there is a controversial development taking place, and which is going to have an impact upon the general environment of the area in which it's going to take place. If you went along to your political party, you might very well find that they don't want to tackle this development, either because the people behind the people promoting the development, not the developers themselves, but you could very well find that for example, the council might be heavily in favor of the development, and your local ward councillor would be reluctant to actually go against his party bosses. Now, on the other hand, if you are a ratepayers association, you don't have that worry about, are you going to upset any party bosses or anything like that? You can actually tackle the council. and which is something you just can't do if you are a if you are a branch of a political party. And many people don't understand just how much a ratepayers association can achieve once they get active. But, you know, in order for a ratepayers association to be properly active and effective, you've got to have a strong membership.
Yeah. I'm thinking immediately of the role the Observatory Civic Association has played around the River Club development, for example, when you're listening to you, Patrick.
Precisely. I was going to mention that, you know. And I'm actually involved with that lot as well. I don't live in Observatory, but I am very much involved in what they are trying to do. And, you know, it is absolutely impressive the way they are going about organizing their campaign. It's you could write a book about it.
Mm-hmm. Patrick,
And I think a lot of ratepayers associations can take inspiration from what they are doing.
I was going to ask if you can provide an example for us in history of where a ratepayers association has really made a substantive change to the outcome of something in a particular suburb. I mean, the River Club issue is still very much, I know the plans have been given the go-ahead, but the objections continue in the background. Can you think back of an example where a ratepayers or civic association made an 180-degree turnabout in planning in some way?
Oh, absolutely. You know, for example, if you take the Princess Play issue, that actually started with the idea of Princess Play being developed as a recreational reserve area and all that sort of thing, actually originated with the Greater Cape Town Civic Alliance.
Okay.
And we got the local communities and community organizations mobilized against the proposed retail development of the site.
Yeah.
And they held all sorts of meetings. They held, protest marches. They had float processions and all sorts of things, all organized by the local community organizations. And eventually, the council turned 180 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
That was a magnificent achievement. And, you know, we are quite proud of the role that we actually played in bringing that about.
We're talking to Patrick Melly, Treasurer at the Greater Cape Town Civic Alliance, as well as to Nigel Webster, who is a member of the City Bowl Ratepayers and Residents Association. We've got a voice note that has come in from one of our listeners, Errol, commenting on this conversation. So let me listen to that voice note before we carry on talking to Patrick and Nigel.
Good afternoon, Pippa, and the listeners and your guests. Many folks don't want to belong to a ratepayers association because they don't want to provide and give that commitment. And it's so sad, but yet those very people complain about their areas. We are not committed anymore to help each other in our communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Errol hitting the nail on the head there, Patrick. I think about the big issue here that a lot of people either don't care enough or don't feel they've got enough time to contribute to something like this. And with one eye on the clock, I'm mindful that time is marching on. Patrick, what would you like to say to the people listening to this interview today about the value of what you can contribute by becoming a member?
Please, for goodness sake, become a member, even if all you do is attend an annual general meeting. You know, the moment the council realizes that they're up against an organization that doesn't just consist of a handful of people, but consists of a strong community involvement, they begin to take a bit of notice. You don't necessarily win your battle outright, but you can have an influence upon the ultimate outcome of what they are going to decide. And I think that's very important. Yeah.
Patrick, final question is whether there are any limitations on who can or can't join these kinds of associations. Are there any criteria that apply?
Generally speaking, you should be a ratepayer or resident of the area that your organization serves. And I would just like to say one thing. Mm-hmm. You must not try to serve too large an area. What is very important is that you be very, very close to the community that you are serving. And you don't want to be too small either, but ideally you want to be in a situation where, you know, people actually feel they know the committee of the of the organization, and in many cases the committee will know many of the people living in the area. So you definitely don't want a distance between the committee and the residents of the area.
Patrick Melly, thank you so much for joining the conversation. Treasurer at the Greater Cape Town Civic Alliance. And if you'd like to look up and read up more about their work and some of the issues they lobby on, their website is GCTCA, for Greater Cape Town Civic Alliance, gctca.org.za. I'm going to come and give the final word to Nigel Webster of SIBRA. Nigel, you got this ball rolling, and I want to thank you for raising the topic and hopefully helping to encourage more Cape Talkers to get involved. Specifically, if somebody listening in the City Bowl is going, I'd like to be part of this kind of change and be contributing in this way, how do they reach out to you to chat about doing that?
Yeah, well, listen, I must just say Patrick spoke extremely well, and I like the input that Errol made. You can go onto our website at cebra.co.za, cebra.co.za, or else come along to, we're having a gathering at the Gardens Bowling Club on the 19th of June. It's a Saturday, and it's at 10 a.m. The 19th of June, okay. Gardens Bowling Club at 10 a.m. Just come along, meet lots of interesting people, and it can be fun to get involved. I mean, I also wanted to emphasize that it can be fun getting involved in these. There'll be tea and cake at this function, and you can learn a lot about your community. You can learn a lot about the city processes, the planning process, so it can be quite educational, and it can be fun to get involved in your community and do something worthwhile. There's nothing better than going out and doing something for your community. It gives you a very good, warm, fuzzy feeling. You just get out there and try it.
Nigel Webster, thank you so much. Today's show has ended up being a lot about building community in different ways. I want to thank you very much for raising the topic. We've got another voice note, which we'll take a listen to after the 2:30 news headlines. For now, let's say good afternoon to Wesley Peterson.
Thanks, Pippa. Good afternoon. President Cyril Ramaphosa has today announced an amendment to the Electricity Regulation Act that will make it easier for independent power providers to generate and sell power. He's also announced government will amend Schedule 2 of the Act to raise the exemption threshold from 1 megawatt to 100 megawatts. That means power producers will be able to produce power without going through a long, drawn-out process with the energy regulator, but they'll still have to go through an official process.
Meet lots of interesting people, and it can be fun to get involved. I mean, I also wanted to emphasize that it can be fun getting involved in these. There'll be tea and cake at this function, and you can learn a lot about your community. You can learn a lot about the city processes, the planning process, so it can be quite educational, and it can be fun to get involved in your community and do something worthwhile. There's nothing better than going out and doing something for your community. It gives you a very good, warm, fuzzy feeling. You just get out there and try it.
Nigel Webster, thank you so much. Today's show has ended up being a lot about building community in different ways. I want to thank you very much for raising the topic.